Stand to your feet. We make the affirmation we've been making for this entire year, and the end is not in sight. Hold it closely to you, or wave your phone at me, or if you've got a real Bible, hold it up and wave it right now. Make this affirmation with me out loud, and I want you to shock yourself with your volume. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. You know, I don't let you get away with just one. Let's do it. Ready? Again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said,
amen.
Sit down. What a good sound. About 8 weeks ago, and I've touched it four or five times over the, maybe even longer than 8 weeks ago, I took a special word from Psalm 19, and you will notice some of the words that you hear today, there have been threads throughout this entire summer. And there some of it is planned, and other times, actually when I'm speaking sometimes, and Linda knows this, that when we go home today, I will go back into these notes, and there'll be some things that are on the page right now that weren't the right things, and other things that come as we go, and we add these things. Other times, I read scriptures that are springboards in other directions, and this is one in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. It's a beautiful word there, and I'm not gonna break it all down like I did before, but I just want to do it as a point of reference, where I read 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And then this is the word I want to emphasize right here. By the way, when it says the law of the Lord is perfect, remember I said it's flawless. It is flawless. Remember that? When it converts the soul, that means it refreshes our inner core. The word here I want to emphasize is this. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Stop right there. A testimony is a solemn declaration made under an oath. You got it? The testimony, the solemn declaration of the Lord is sure, which means a sure thing. It is trustworthy. So that is where I want to hit right now. And I want to tell you that the test, as I said about 6 weeks ago when I touched it again, and I made the statement almost like a court, the testimony you are about to hear is true. How many of you, God wants to hear truth? Courtroom situations, we've watched courtroom dramas, we've seen other things over the last few years, and some of you have been to court. But there are unusual things that go on in a courtroom, and the testimony is so important there. How important is the word? I'm going to give you another court story real quick. The moral of this story is don't mess with grandma. Lawyers should never ask a Georgia grandma a question if they aren't prepared for the answer. In a trial in the small southern town, the prosecuting attorney called his first witness. She was a grandmotherly, elderly woman, called her to the stand. He said, Mrs. Jones, as he approached her, he said, do you know me? Mrs. Jones said, well, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. In fact, I've known you since you were a boy. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat on your wife, you manipulate people, you talk about them behind your backs. You think you're a big shot when you don't even have the brains to realize you'll never amount to anything more than just a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you. He was stunned and he walked away. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed to the other attorney. And he said, Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney? She replied again, yes, I sure do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster, too. He's lazy. He's bigoted. He has a drinking problem. He can't build a normal relationship with anyone. His law practice is one of the worst in the entire state, not to mention he cheated on his wife with three different women. One of them was your wife, sir. Yes, I know who he is. The defense attorney just nearly died. And it was at that point the judge quickly told both counselors to come to the bench. And he leans over in a very quiet voice and he says to them, if either one of you idiots ask if she knows me, I'm sending both of you to the electric chair, he said. The moral of the story, don't mess with grandma. Isn't that right? You got that, right? Next week, I'm going to tell you, don't mess with grandpa. Watch this. The testimony you're about to hear is true. The real moral of my story today is don't mess with God. don't mess with God. You think she knew some stuff. God knows some stuff. I've always said, we will follow the loudest voice, and today the loudest and the most relentless voices are the active adversaries of the word of the Lord. And I tell you, flat-footed, looking you straight in the eye this morning, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. It is coming. I've heard, and I've even said it. We usually ratchet it up the sound every 4 years, but it's now every day now. Where the statement is made, hey, we're at the dividing point right now. We're at the point it can go either way. I'm here to tell you we're past that point. We've been way past that point. We're not at a point right now where the choice has already been made. And we're going downhill and we're going real fast. And the brakes are out. No, I'm not optimistic in the natural. But the testimony you're about to hear is true. It is sure. It is trustworthy. I don't think we're at the tipping point. I think we've already passed the tipping point. Judgment is coming. And we're here, and evil is loud. But I do want to tell you this: God's word is louder. God's word is louder, and it's bigger. God's word is louder. But the people who are in charge today, John Calvin has been dead many, many years, but it sounds like he wrote this yesterday. He said, when God wants to judge a nation, he gives them wicked rulers. And the psalm says that when the wicked are in charge, the people groan. That's where we are right now. We grew up with the mindset that if you did things to little children, you went to jail. Now you get elected to the top offices in America, and we don't even blink anymore. When God wants to judge a nation, he gives us wicked rulers. But his word is louder. Psalm 119. I've been tinkering with Psalm 119 for months and months. I might spend a whole year one time on Psalm 119. But I love verse 89 where it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The natural world is past the tipping point. Do you think God's going, oh, me, me? I don't think so. So it's into this world in which we live. I believe in the sweet by and by, but we have to live in the nasty now and now sometimes. And we have to know what we believe. That's what all these messages have been about. We also need to know, even when they're loud voices, which is the right voice. Which is the word of God voice? One may ask, can you really hear God? I think I turned that a little bit different by saying, are we tuning our ears to hear God? Is the voice familiar enough that you recognize it? I recognize that voice. I recognize that voice. Is it the same way when we hear it? I recognize that voice. It's so important that we have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. In a business meeting, or when somebody's trying to get a consensus and they all vote, usually the person chairing the meeting says this, all in favor say what? Aye. Now that is not an aye like me. That is not like that. It is not aye like this. It is A-Y-E, I. That means, yes, I affirm that. You got it? All in favor say I. So it's not this. It's not the I. And if the matter passes, they say what? The eyes have it. But today in our walk with God's word, the key to knowing the right voice is this statement, the ears have it. The ears have it. The ears have it. Boom, boom, boom. It's affirmed. The ears have it today. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to explain a little bit of it to you until it's time to read. But in Matthew chapter 13, he's telling parables. Now, this, I jumped on this a few weeks ago when I told you the story, how Jesus got the boat and backed out to teach. Remember that story we did a few weeks ago? On the same day, Jesus went out. This is verse chapter 13 of Matthew. And the words won't come up for a few minutes yet. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house. He sat by the sea. The multitude came. He got into the boat. It said there that he spoke many things to them in parables. Remember when I talked about parables? Parables are practical illustrations to explain a spiritual truth. That's easy. You know that right now. And then he told the story. A sower went out to sow. And he talks about seeds. Now, by the way, this between the line story to the people who are of understanding is not this seed. It was the seed is the word of God. The word of God, the most important thing. And it says he went to sow. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony places. Some fell on thorns. But I love in verse 8, but others fell on good ground. That simply means on receptive ground. Can I ask you today, is when I give you the word of the Lord today, when you read the word of the Lord, when you sing the word of the Lord, are you in a mode of receptivity? Is the ground good? Are you, when you say these, I see, you know, many of us, all, not, I was going to, you know, all, we've all lived things where we have done rote repetition prayers. They changed us not. They moved us not. They inspired us not. We just did them mechanically. We were just told it was a form. We denied God's power that was in that word. And we've all done that. We've all been in the middle of, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, man, I got to do that tomorrow. And I got to, I forgot to, it's so on. We go through the list. It's so important to know that the ears have it. Well, he tells the story, the good ground. The crop yielded 100, some 60, some 30. And verse 9, it pops on. Here's what it says. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If there's somebody next to you, say, he's talking about you right now. Tell them that right now. Know this. Whenever Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me give you some good advice. It's time to sit up and pay attention. It's time to listen up. He's calling for people to pay careful attention and careful heed to his word. So he tells this story about the seed and the boys, they love Jesus, but they're still not up to full strength of what in their revelation right now. So pick up with verse 10. It said, and the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, you need to know this out of the box. Like a parable, the concept and the comparison of the natural and the spiritual is parallel. Got it? The natural picture is really telling you the spiritual implication, the spiritual truth, and the spiritual secrets that he's letting you in on right now. In fact, he say that everybody can read it, but not everybody is going to grab it. He proves that out of his own mouth. And by the way, I'll do more of that next week in the message. Verse 11, he said to them, well, because it has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But I really like this statement. But to them, watch that. Jesus loves everybody. No, he loves some all better. He loves everybody the same across the board, but those who will listen and do his word, he leans closer to. He is near to those who will call on him. He's near to those. And he probably even pointed to them. He probably had a little bit of Bronx or Yat attitude when he said, it's been given to you, but to them it's not been given. You know what this clearly tells me? You have all your little groups, all your little designations. But the bottom line in this walk, there are only two groups. Those who get it and those who don't get it. There's only two. There's only two. It's been given to you, but to them, for whoever has to him, more will be given. He will have abundance. Now, this wouldn't fly today. This is not fair, man. This is not equitable. This is not fair. You know, you can't. Jesus wasn't impressed. For whoever has to him, more will be given. He will have abundance. But whoever who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And again, notice the parallel. No, what about those poor people? That's not what he's telling. He's telling you, those who have the word, you're going to grow. More is going to come. Blessing is going to come. Revelation is going to come. And the things they're holding on to, they will drift away. And he says in verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. We're dealing with a, he's telling a natural story, but the parallel is spiritual in our lives. They see it, they hear it. Have you ever asked yourself, the Bible's so clear, why can't they see this? Why can't, it's right here. It's right here. I heard the old story of someone burst out in a service one time and gave a prophecy in a word. And then the little lady says, "I thus saith the Lord, I can't understand why you can't understand when my word, because even when it's written in red, you can't understand it." You see what's going on here? They don't understand. And then he goes a little bit deeper in their background. Verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Now, by the way, this is from Isaiah chapter 6, okay? And this was a prophetic word. So he goes back 100 years, and he connects it right in front of their eyes right there. And he's basically saying this is being fulfilled right now. He says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and still not perceive it. Why? What is the problem? Verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown what? Dull. And as a result, their ears are hard of hearing. Notice the connection. Their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, that so that I should heal them. It seems to be a willful thing. But then he speaks to his homeboys. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Bless your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have even desired. And he's dealing with, somebody said, well, the religious people really offended me. Well, you're in good company. They did. They offended Jesus too. Well, those religious people, they weren't nice. They weren't nice to him. And he lays it out. Many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and they did not see it. They did not hear what you hear. And did not hear. Understand the difference? What to hear? The true word. The untrue word. Well, then he goes a little deeper, and I'm going to probably come back to this, the last part of this whole chapter in a few weeks from right now. And he explains a little bit further this parable, but I only want to give you one verse right here. Maybe two. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone what? Hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. We'll come back to that in a few weeks. But notice there's a real key. It is the first, hearing the word and asking for the illumination and the understanding. I asked a few minutes ago, are our ears tuned to God's voice? Is God's voice a familiar thing to you? Next week, we're going to talk about some of the ways that God will speak to us. Some of the ways that he will prod us. He will warn us. But are we tuned? One of my favorite old lyrics, 1700s. 1758, his name was Robert Robinson. And he wrote this line. He said, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, thy goodness, thy blessing. Tune my heart. When these guys come up and they grab these instruments, they have to decide a key. Because if they're not all in the same key, you have confusion. You have a train wreck. Once in a while, I might give the wrong key sign and we're in something and it's different from what they've got written on their page, and you got a problem there. It'll throw your ear. Your ear is out of whack because we are not in a situation where we're in the same key. And if we're not in the same key, there's confusion. We live in a world today where it says, well, it doesn't matter. Listen to the radio. They don't matter what key they're all in. They don't care anymore. We were driving down the road yesterday. First time she got out in a while. We had some music on, and Frank was singing something, and we both went, we're officially old. That's music. Oh, and not just that. And all of a sudden, we're listening, dum, da 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 da, isn't she love? And when, that's music. You hear those rhythms there. Listen to that. I can't believe, oh, that's good. I mean, are you kidding me? That's music. I can't remember the exact year. It was probably in the late 70s when that album, that double album, Stevie Wonder, Songs in the Key of Life, had come out. And it was a double live album. And we had Sunday morning church, and all of a sudden somebody slipped me a note and said, I need to make this call real quick. Alan Toussaint was on the phone. He said, look, I'm bringing somebody with you. I said, great, well, come on, man. He said, no, it's Stevie Wonder. And me being funny, cracking a joke, well, it doesn't matter where he sits, then I get, you know. But anyway, he said, we're bringing Stevie in. And so all of a sudden the worship's over and I see Stevie come walking in and I'm thinking, am I singing on pitch? I mean, I'm wondering, you know, he's got the ear of all time, you know, and he comes in and he sits there and he seems really, so when it's over, he comes back in the office and Alan brings him back and we're sitting there for a while. And song, I was telling the Songs in the Key of Life had come out not too long and it was a double live album. You know, and a million albums is like hot, is stuff. 500,000 is a gold record. Million is a platinum record. Stevie, how many records have you sold of this new single? Oh, I think about 8 million right now. But that's music. I listened to something the other day, and there's two and three keys going on at the same time. That creates unrest, uneasiness. When you tune a piano, have you ever seen him tune the piano? He has to take this bar. And he has to slip it over there, and it, you can actually hear it sometimes. And he's got the dun 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 dun. He's hitting the home note, the 440 pitch right there, and he's and dun 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 dun. And you can hear it go like, God has to do that to us sometimes. Bring us in tune. How does that happen? Through your worship, through your devotion to the Word right now. Tune my heart. Are we tuned? We can be. You got to have a home key. There's not a home key where it starts and where it's supposed to end. And there has to be a guide that we know where we are. Tune my heart. Tune me. Bring it in. See, this conversion thing that we talk to people about, when you ask Jesus into your heart, they call that your conversion moment. And you got your ticket, you're going. But it is incumbent upon you to get better each day in that. That's the part that of the sanctification where we are setting ourselves apart. We're doing active things. He's done a miracle, and we have prayed a prayer in faith, but he's done a miracle of new life and salvation. But it is an ongoing daily thing in our life that we are tuning our heart more and more every day. And sometimes we get out of whack a bit. Sometimes the weather changes the tuning in something. Circumstance changes the tuning in something, and you have to bring it back in line right now. Somebody said conversion happens in an instant, but discipleship, that means in the way of living out our doctrine, is the work of a lifetime. You got it? These messages have been about growth and discipleship. Y'all are saved. Y'all prayed the prayer. God bless you. You're going to be there. Y'all are going to be there, I think. I got a guy who's a gospel writer and a gospel, but he's kind of funny too. And he's writing a song about a relative of his. And he says, I hope you go to heaven, but I hope you're not on my street. And conversion happens in an instant. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I thank you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Jesus, I thank you so much. I walk away with assurance that I'm a child of God. And when the horn blows, I'm going to be with you. Lord, I love you. But what's going to happen on Monday morning? I'm going to read the word. I'm going to over and over. I'm going to listen to your word. I'm going to sing your word. I am with my mouth. That's why I was pushing you a little bit today in that worship. With my mouth, I will make known. That is your lifetime. Your lifetime has changed. Your procedure has changed. Your appetites have changed. Your mode of operation has changed. Yes, we need ears. We need ears. We need to see. In fact, we need them both. Proverbs says it this way. I'll hit it more next week, but you've heard it over the years. Proverbs 20:12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. And they're going to work together. But today, like the commercial, God is asking, can you hear me now? How many times do you say that when you're on the phone, you're driving down the road and a big truck goes by? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Now, hearing, now listen to this statement. Hearing the word, it is a word acquired skill. Did I say it right? It is a word acquired skill. of hearing the word, of tuning. And this is the difference between a wise and a foolish person in hearing God's word. And this is a skill that can be acquired, but it is done through the word. It is a daily discipleship. It is a daily devotion to it. Jesus told another story in Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, King James says, and does them, but the NIV here says, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat upon that house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. Now, understand something here. The parable applies to our daily life and our daily walk. In the natural, the foundation is strong. You understand that more than any other part of the country right now. By the way, let me point out something. In the story, it rained on both of them. It rained. I hate to break that to you. It rained on both of them. It rained on both of them. But the last part of that statement, because it had a foundation on the rock. But there's a lot to be concerned about. Last week I spoke about, I want to do a bit of a review of last week in just two or three statements real quick. We talked about worry last week. We talked about the difference between concern and worry. There's a lot we should be concerned about. We should be pay attention to our life, pay attention to our family, pay attention to our bills, pay attention to what's going on in the world today. But it does not step over into the worry that consumes us. See, that step, concern and worry are two different things there. Worry is something that gets a hold of you. In fact, here's some statements here that I wrote on worry that I told them to put back up today. And I came, by the way, I have a real problem when somebody said, just snap out of it. Worry's real. And worry will discourage, worry will sicken you, and worry will paralyze you. Worry will paralyze you. Now, do you know when worry is worse? Worry gets worse, especially to those who are weak, who are weary, and who might be depleted. Worry starts getting louder when we're weak, when we're weary, when we're discouraged, because the natural carnal man, not walking the discipleship out things, goes the other way, and we keep compounding the error. But I have a problem with the churchy sound when somebody says, oh, just snap out of it. You know, on your own, you can't snap out of it. Flesh isn't going to help you. Oh, you can have some mind over matter moments, but you've not changed your core. You can do some things temporarily for a while. You just don't snap out of it without two things: a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is our discipleship, and a foundation in his word. Remember the last line that we read just now, the parable? Because it was built on the what? The foundation of the what? The rock Christ Jesus. So it's real. I'm not minimizing that. And I've seen people do that, but we all go through those things. I've dealt with that this week. All of us have. But we need the foundation. We need this word. We even need this gathering moment to help us in our own. See, this is part of our discipleship drill. This gathering moment, the discipline of this gathering moment is so important. But the key word in that whole statement, and even what Jesus read, was the word foundation. The word is foundation. Paul said it this way: no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have. That's Jesus Christ. But today, we live in a world where we will take any foundation except that which is on Jesus Christ. That's where we are. That's where we are today. That's where we are today. So the story continues in Matthew 7. And so Jesus, he's reeling them in. 26, verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house, it fell with a great crash. It rained on all of them, as I said a minute ago. The New King James says kind of, and I've made an amalgamation sentence from about three translations. Whoever really hears or who is tuned to the correct frequency of my voice, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he's wise. And in our daily walk, it is clear the ears have it. The real wisdom, if we read the scripture, is not just what our little actions, but step number one always in each of these stories is hearing and then doing. That's wisdom. Doing as we have read, as we have observed, as we've been taught. Now, this is an easy thing for me to say. Doing as we have heard. Here's the thing that's really confusing to me. And it's, have you ever been in a situation where your walk paralleled someone that you know, and maybe in the early days of your walk, you guys were kind of equal on fire, but you look at their lives and they've crashed in a ditch, or they've done gone another situation, and they're even denying that ever happened. And they're like, I don't mean this in a condemning way, but the fruit of the life says they didn't stay on that same thing. And we've all dealt with that sometimes. I had to deal with this one time. Linda was talking to somebody, and we were going back and forth. It's been an ongoing conversation. And a person that should really know God's word, been around God's word for a long time, was asking questions of fear and worry that we should have gone past many, many years ago. And it was almost like Linda said, well, what have they been listening to all of their lives? And we all know, what have you been listening to? Why did you come? You came week after week, and you're still questioning those things of God Almighty? I had to get over this fact. By the way, I'm not the policeman. I had to get over that. Not everybody will act the same way when they hear the same word. Now, that really confuses me sometimes. That ticks me off sometimes. Can't you hear it? It's written in red. You've experienced, it changed your life one day. Did you forget that? It stopped the path you were. Did you forget that? You sang, blessed assurance, but here you are. You've crashed and burned, and you're asking these questions. What have you been listening to all these times? It is the transition moment of hearing to doing. So not everybody acts the same way. Now, I really have a question about that. That bothers me sometimes. It bothers me. Don't you think it bothered the people in the New Testament? I've asked the question, what have they been listening to all these years? This has everything to do, by the way, even in the natural brain function, it has everything to do with the condition, the preparation, and the receptivity of a heart before God. The condition of the heart is connected to the condition and the clear flow of the ear. See, if I'm already predisposed to not believing or not liking the person who's delivering this to me, they can say the grass is green and the sun will come up tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to receive it. And we allow these things instead of saying, where's the truth in here? The condition of the heart is connected to the condition and the clear flow of the ear. Someone said it this way, a drunk heart speaks with a sober mind. And we hear things crazy sometimes. And if we realize the spiritual application to this concept, even though we can spout the chapter and verse, if we're not a willing vessel, our hearts and our ears will not be tuned to his voice. So really, I've been talking about an ear, but it's really a matter of our heart and our receptivity to what he's saying to us today. One writer said it this way, and this is kind of true in everything. Every serious problem started with an unwillingness to tell the truth or the unwillingness to hear it. Wow. Every time we've messed up, an unwillingness to tell the truth or the unwillingness to hear it. Tune my ears, tune my eyes, tune my heart. This pattern right here, when I told you not everybody, even though they hear the same thing, will respond the same way, happened in the birth of the church. That day that Peter stood up in the history lesson and he screamed, repent. Remember that? Remember that story? When he said, repent? Well, the Acts and some of the later chapters in Acts, it starts telling the story. And there were two kinds of people there. And it says, and when they heard it, they were all cut to the heart. Some responded, some ran. They heard the same message. Some responded, some ran. Why? It had everything to do with one not wanting to hear the truth and the unwillingness to hear the truth. The story continued. Stephen, you'll see some scripture references right now. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to throw them out to you. In Acts chapter, that's chapter 2, the first one there. In Acts chapter 7, the story of Stephen, the martyr, and the story of there, when he begins to preach and give the history lesson, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were unwilling to hear the truth. You got that? And Mark and Luke gave us two important components, by the way, of why this happens. Chapter 4, verse 23 says it this way. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. That's what he said in chapter 4 there. And then in Luke chapter 8, he says, therefore, take heed how you hear. What you hear, that's big. How you hear, that's big too. And these are God blockers. I'm going to talk about God blockers a little bit maybe next week. These are things that block our ears. Block a stop up our ears. How important are our ears before God? When you read the book of Revelation over and over again, when a strong statement is made in each new chapter, a strong statement over and over in Revelation, it says, give us ears, or let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's all throughout the book of Revelation. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. That's a strong word. Over and over. I kind of rewrote it for me. Lord, give us the sense to recognize it, to embrace it, to run with it. I got to tell you what, man. A lot of times you're asking God speak. He's been speaking all along, but my spirit of not wanting to believe it. Sometimes you just got to cast out the spirit of stupid. I've had to do that with me. People have done it to me. We deal enough sense to recognize it. A lot of people bog down, like, oh, that's good, that's God's word, but they don't embrace it. And maybe they get to that part, but they get worn out. Run with it. Remember that ongoing thing? Every year, some of you have to climb up a ladder, you have to go to your gutters, and you have to pull out the leaves and the junk that's gathered up there, because if you don't, the water will not flow freely, and there will not be a free flow. That's the parallel that we need right now. He's given us so much. We owe him our lives. We owe him our heart. We owe him our hands, our feet, our eyes, and our ears. This is the foundation of our worship, the foundation. This is the discipline of our praise. This is the starting point. The discipline of our praise is tuning our heart. Psalm 85 says some really interesting things. Maybe one day we'll spend a whole day in Psalm 85. I'm going to cherry pick a little bit real quick for you. There's an unusual thing that David does in Psalm 85. Maybe this week do it in a devotion. First off, you see David reviewing God's mercies. Then he recognizes God's presence. And then finally, there's a recognition of God's future salvation for us. It opens up in verse 4. He says, Lord, you've been favorable to your land. He repeats stuff to God. You brought us from captivity. You've forgiven the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sins. You take away the wrath. You turn from the fiercest of your angers. He's made that first as a declaration. Now he's making a request when he's coming to God. Now notice the angle of his request. Verse number 4, we read it together. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice? And he says, show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Now here comes the final affirmation. Notice he's talked about the testimonies. Notice he is saying, Lord, restore us. Lord, don't be angry at us anymore. Keep forgiving us. And verse 8 is where we land right now. It says, and I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. He's reminded God. How do you pray? Remind God of his goodness. Thank God of what he's done. And then, Lord, these are things that have concern right now. I'm going to lay them in your, I'm going to cast them upon you. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, and let them not turn back to folly. Folly. The New Living Translation of verse 8 says it this way. I will listen carefully. The ears have it. I will listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to, now notice the parallel here. He speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to to their foolish ways. Two kinds of people. You're either going to be faithful or you're going to be foolish with what you've heard. Everybody can hear it at the same time. What are we going to do with it? Next week, I'm going to talk about our foolish ways. What foolish ways block the hearing? What foolish ways, even after we've heard that block? More about that next week. And understanding this will change us. We're praying a prayer in our hearts. This, why don't you do it this week? Lord, give me the ears to hear what you're going to say. Give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see, Lord. Next week, we'll talk about things that block his voice. And I'm going to give you 8 ways that God speaks. But put your Bible down. Close your Bible. Put your phones down. I have an assignment for you. I'm going to have an exit question for you. An exit assignment for you. I haven't said anything controversial. I've said some very important things. So it's very simple to see where the word is. But the real work comes as we walk out. The real work comes tomorrow morning. What are you filling those ears with? The ears have it. The ears will decide. We're so powerful, we can hear enough stuff through our ears that we'll get sick. They're already telling you, you're going to get sick again. They've already got that cooked up for you. They've already got that done. That if you think any of this is accidental, you're living on Mars. They've already got those things cooked up. The idea is to stop your movement, to hopefully stop the word. No accidents right now. There are no weather accidents. There's land grabs, but there's evil. But you know what? I'm going to pay attention. I will be concerned, but I'm not going to be worried to that it affects my mind, my health, my sleep, my rest. Here's your assignment this week. It starts with a question. What can you do better this week to hear God's voice? I'm laying it in your lap. What can you do better this week? Don't pay attention to anybody else. Don't worry about them. What can you do better personally to hear God's voice? It may be an amplification of this word over and over. It may be a time where you read a word and you say, Lord, what is this? And you live with it a little bit. You may be paying attention to what the loudest voice in your ear is right now. It's hard to know which is live, which is truthful, which is a lie right now. What can you do this week to hear him better? It starts with a devotion. Start not just the natural devotional, but it starts with the devotion. This will be my path. This will be what we do. This is what we believe. Whatever happens, I believe this word because I believe, as I read the first verse today, forever your word is established in heaven. What can you do? That's your assignment this week. That's your assignment. Going down the road, what can you do better? Have you spent that time? Have you spent that time? Has it been a reflection on God's goodness? Yes, you have concerns. And they turn into worry sometimes. And when it hits that point, that's when you know. Let that be the get back. That's where I have to go find that spot. It didn't say because he was a Christian and read the scripture that he was okay when the wind and the wave came. It said he was okay even though he went through the mess because he was founded on the foundation of what he heard from God. And in that case, the ears have it. Your assignment, ask yourself, this is a one-size-fits-all, but the answer will be different for everyone. What can I do better this week to hear God's voice better this week? And you'll know where you are by when you find out what the loudest thing is. Today, I want you to walk out. I want you to stand up tall. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to go, shoot, we've got this. God's got this. I'm engaged, though. I'm paying attention. I'm not going to be dumb. I'm going to be smart, not in my own flesh, but in my foundation that I've heard over and over again. In this walk, the ears have it. Let's stand.